Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read a portion of our gospel lesson again from Luke chapter 12. Friend, he said to him, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you? He then told them, watch out and be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed, who said, money is the answer for everything? King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon was confronted with a number of temptations, and from what we understand, he fell away. Seems to be repentant in the book of Ecclesiastes, but he did say that. At the same time, even though he struggled with the temptations and so forth, he has a lot of wisdom for us in the book of Ecclesiastes. One of those gems is found in chapter 3, which I've shared with you before, where he says, God has put eternity in the heart of man. In other words, everybody has a sense of the eternal. Everyone has an understanding that there is something transcendent to this life. It's not a matter if one has an eternal longing, for we all do, but how to satisfy that eternity in the heart. That's where people differ. And so Solomon, as he was being tempted, decided that he would find satisfaction for the eternity in his heart in the things of this life. So we read in chapter 2, I increased my achievements. I built houses, vineyards, gardens, parks. I constructed reservoirs. I acquired servants. I amassed silver and gold. All that my eyes desire, I did not deny them. So, this was his worldview, you might say, at the time. He said to himself, this eternity in my heart, that can be satisfied by the things that I acquire in this life. But we also read in Ecclesiastes that he discovered that was not true. When I considered all that I had accomplished and what I had labored to achieve, I found everything to be futile. The word futile or futility is found 29 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, these things that Solomon pursued were not wrong in and of themselves. In fact, they can be very good things for life. The problem is not having them, but the problem is using them wrongly or seeking to use them to satisfy the eternity in our hearts. And that brings us to our text from the book of Luke chapter 12 and the subject of greed, where Jesus again said, watch out and be on your guard against all greed, because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions. So Jesus is acknowledging here what, unfortunately, Solomon had discovered back in Ecclesiastes. Seeking to satisfy the eternal longings with the things of this life, money, property. Greed, it can be a very subtle thing. And so our text is designed to help us identify greed within ourselves, to deal with it as we should, to avoid it, and then to encourage us to go in the direction of that which truly does satisfy the eternal longings of our heart. So we look at a couple people in our text. First of all, the man who comes to Jesus and says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." In one sense, this was probably a very legitimate request on the part of this man. The man's brother probably was a jerk, and he wanted the entire inheritance for himself, which of course would have been unfair. So there was a need for a just judge here to rule. It's a matter of fairness. But as Jesus clarifies in our text, lurking behind this request for fairness and justice was greed. Greed can take place in the midst of a request for fairness and justice. Lurking there was this desire to satisfy the eternal with that which cannot satisfy the eternal. Some of you have probably received an inheritance or will receive one. And it can be kind of exciting, even if it's just $5,000 or $10,000, $100,000. Maybe some of you might inherit or have inherited much more than that. I don't know. It can be exciting. We have term insurance. You know, I have some things set up. Hopefully my wife isn't too excited about getting them too early. But, you know, there have been studies done on people's satisfaction with money, like the lottery. People win the lottery, and perhaps more often than not, they find out that it's not all that they want it to be. It doesn't satisfy. They find themselves in a state of futility, like King Solomon. So the question is not whether money or possessions that are to be received, whether it's fair to receive them or whether they're deserved, but it's a matter of the heart. What does the heart say about these things? So if a person thinks or is convinced that these things in life, the inheritance or whatever it might be, can really, really deeply satisfy, then they're very similar to what this man is accused of by Jesus himself, greed. Then we have the second man to speak about, the rich man in the parable. His land was productive. Is that bad? No. A lot of wealth came from that land. Is that bad? No. He would be able to use that wealth for a good life in the days ahead. Is that bad? Not necessarily. But again, lurking behind the productive land, the wealth of the land, the good life, was the thinking that this will satisfy my deepest longings. Behind it was greed. And his greed was revealed in two ways. First of all, you know, think of the personal pronouns that are used here. My crops, my barns, my goods, mine, mine, mine. He failed to see that all these things were actually gifts from God. Last week we looked at the Lord's Prayer and that fourth petition again. Give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread without our prayers, but we pray in this petition that he would lead us to acknowledge this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. So this was the farthest thing from this rich man's mind, to acknowledge that all these things he had were actually gifts from God. So this was the first indicator that the rich man was caught up in greed. Second of all, he says, then I'll say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. So not only was he saying, mine, 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 these are all mine, but he was also saying, these are mine for me and me only. This is why St. Paul writes to the pastor Timothy, telling Timothy to give very biblical advice to rich people. He says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who provides richly for us so that we can enjoy everything, so we can enjoy the things of this life. But then he goes on to say, they, the rich people, are to do good, be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, the storing up for themselves treasures as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. So he failed to see that God had given him riches so that he could share with others and benefit others. And for this reason, the rich man in the parable is called a fool. He's called a fool because he's actually revealing that he has a false idol or a false God that he trusts in. In our epistle lesson today, it talks about putting to death that which belongs to your earthly nature, and it includes greed, which Paul says idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. So again, greed can be subtle. Behind the request for fairness and justice, behind the accumulation of money and mammon and wealth, which may be a very legitimate thing for a person to acquire, behind the pursuit of a good and comfortable life can easily be greed, which is idolatry, which earns one the title of fool. You do not want to be bound with the title of fool on the night that your life is demanded of you. That would be the absolute worst thing that could happen. So when we see such thinking, such desires, when the heart and the life pursues such things, thinking to ourselves, this will really make the difference in my life. This will truly satisfy. This will impact this eternity in my heart. When we see these things in our lives, and they do come there quite easily, we are to repent. We are to say, Father, forgive me, for I have worshipped a false God. Instead, Jesus says, we are not to store up treasures for ourselves here, but we are to be rich toward God. Well, what does that mean? The eternity of the heart can only be satisfied by the one who is eternal himself and the eternal plan that he has set up. God satisfies with riches that go way beyond the riches of this life. He brings us an inheritance that is eternal, and it's all free. So, for example, Ephesians 2. God being rich in mercy. It's good to hear that he's rich in mercy. Think about that, rich in mercy. Because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show, and here it is, the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. This is one of those wow passages. It's an amazing passage. The eternity in our hearts. We try to satisfy them with the things. We don't come close. But God does. He comes more than close. One more passage, one you've heard several times from this pulpit, from Titus chapter 3. God saved us according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, our baptism, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that having been justified by grace, we should become heirs, inheritors, having the hope of not just life, but eternal life. So Christ, the eternal Son, he alone satisfies. And what does this mean? What does this have to do with how we live? Well, to that we go to our epistle lesson, Colossians 3. So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. But now put away, besides greed and other things, put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language from your mouth. So this is what it means when we understand that the eternity of our heart is satisfied only in Christ, and we believe that, and we grasp that by faith. One example from Luke 21, Jesus saw a poor widow putting two small copper coins into the offering box, and he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." Now, I bring this up not so we can know how much we should give for the work of the Lord. I mean, that's there too. But just to illustrate her approach to money, she was not afraid to use her money in a God-pleasing way. She was not afraid to use her money for something other than herself. If you and I have been blessed with earthly goods and money, and we have been, some to a greater extent than others, you do not have to be afraid to give. To use the things that God has given you for the benefit of your neighbor. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, "Give to everyone who begs from you, and from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. Love your neighbors and do good, and lend expecting nothing in return." So, the things of this life, do they satisfy? Yeah. They satisfy, but to a very limited degree. They do not satisfy the eternity of our hearts. And if we think otherwise, we will experience a great futility in the end. Christ and his grace and his forgiveness satisfies the eternal longings. Only that gift of the eternal God that he has given us, his only Son, satisfies. And with that understanding, we are free. We are free not to set our hearts on the things of this life. We are free from greed. We are free to use our earthly goods and money rightly. We are free so we can give to others without fear. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.